Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Energy is Love podcast. I'm Craig.
I'm Steph.
And we're your hosts for this amazing show that you're about to listen to. Before we get to the episode, we're super excited this month. We're hosting a free workshop on June 23rd.
It's on a Friday.
So mark your calendars now and come join us. It's going to be all about emotional monitoring. We're going to be diving deep into the topic and how it impacts your relationships. And this isn't just your romantic relationships, but all relationships. From friendships to family dynamics, we're going to explore all the patterns and how they can manifest and affect those connections. It's going to be a live workshop where we're going to provide a lot of valuable insight on how to identify your patterns. And then we're going to offer up some practical tips on how to initiate healing if you emotionally monitor. The whole purpose of the workshop is going to be helping you gain a better understanding of emotional monitoring, as well as ways for you to cultivate healthier relationships in all areas of your life. So come join us. We're super excited about it. Again, it's a free workshop. Doesn't cost you anything, and you're going to get a ton of insight when it comes to this difficult topic. Last but not least, we're going to also do a Q&A session at the end. So anything that might come up for you over the course of the workshop, or even just questions that you have about emotional monitoring, you'll be able to ask those. You can sign up now by going to energyislove.love, click on the offerings tab up top and you'll see it. And we would love to see you there. While you're at our website, be sure to sign up for the newsletter. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with all the stuff that we have coming up.
If you haven't already, come join our online community. It's called Energy is Love Together.
It's a cool place that we've created for like-minded people that are on their healing journey. You're going to get support. There's two free workshops to join every month. We're also offering new things every month, like, for example, breathwork for emotional release this month. There's also a Q&A chat where we're going to hang out. We're calling that one Shadow Chats and kind of discuss everything that's coming up. You get access to the community space where you get to interact and engage with each other. There's some resources there available as well. So it's a really cool place that we've created and we're excited about it. So come hang out with us at Energy is Love Together. You can find all that info at the website, as well as all the information about everything else that we do. If you want to work with us one-on-one through our coaching practice, you can find the information there, as well as everything about this podcast and all of our social media links and everything else. There's even like stuff that you can't even imagine there. We don't know what that is, but
Go check it out.
Energyislove.love.
That's .love.
And for now, we'll get to the episode, so enjoy this one.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
That would be 40 on this old bad boy.
Yeah. That's the new one.
It is the new chair.
Why is
and
it
it's squeaky,
squeaky
AF.
Maybe it's because it...
Oh, what were you going to say?
It needs to be just... What? Given a little more attention. I wasn't going to say it that way, but I chose to.
You went there.
I did.
Well. That plays right into our topic.
Does it?
Yeah, perception.
How does that play into her?
Because how does it my play perception into her? Is that what you said?
I said, how does that play into perception? I think that's what I said. That's what I was thinking. Well, we have evidence. It's video recorded, so.
That can be doctored.
Are you
going to trust video anymore?
You're the one that does it. Are you going to doctor it?
Maybe. Maybe I use AI. These aren't even our real faces, right?
What's your code word?
So this episode, we're going to be getting into perceptions and how they kind of shape your reality. Because it's a topic that has been sticking with me for a long time, truthfully. And it seems like it's a thing that I continually look at and process, and I get deeper and deeper and deeper kind of down the rabbit hole of understanding how my programming, my perception, literally like the thoughts that I have influence and create the world that I exist in, right? So it's something that we're aware of. It's something that, like, there's plenty of memes and quotes and books about it. And I think that it's also one of those things that just kind of gets forgotten about, where we don't really look at it in a practical sense. So that's kind of my thought process over the course of this episode, is we can pick it apart a little bit more and look at what it really means, right? Where your thoughts shape your reality, your perception shapes the world around you. What do you think right off the bat?
Right off the bat?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I'm like, yes. Perception shapes the world around you.
Isn't it something that you've heard a ton, right?
It is. It is. And it's something that I didn't always have a strong connection with. it was something that I was like, yeah, perception doesn't change reality though. So you may perceive it different, but the reality is. So if something is like really, really crappy, you can't like, I thought it was like a gaslighting way. You can't like gaslight yourself away from it. Or even like it is used for that. You try and change other people's perceptions on ways that it favors their perception of you or the circumstances. She's like, that's not actually what happened. This is what happened. But the truth is, that might be your perception.
Right.
That might be there. So I was very hesitant to it because there's so much intentional manipulation that happens around it. And I was like, it doesn't matter. You can happy think your way through it. It doesn't change the reality of the situation. So I was a little slower to jump on that. Your reality is shaped by your perception.
Right. Before
your, even your experience, this moment right here is going to be so different between my experience, your experience, their experience. It's all on like my perception, your perception, whoever's watching, listening, replaying all of that perception. It's all a very different experience, but that's hard to recognize because I see my my perception here. And I'm like, how is it anything different? Because this is obviously the truth.
I wanted to give a big caveat before we started it, and okay. I wanted to do it actually before we recorded it.
Before we record. Oh, so
I totally forgot it. It's one specifically just for you, but
just for me.
Now we're on the podcast, and it's
well, maybe it'll benefit out, them too. Right?
If I come off in a judgmental or contradictory way as we discuss this topic, please let me know because I do not want to. Like, I'm not trying to judge your perception. I'm not trying to criticize the way that you see the world. I'm only trying to discuss and highlight how different you and me are, and neither one of us is wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And if they, like, if you're listening to this, if the things that we discuss are triggering in a way, or if you feel like we're addressing a perception or a viewpoint that you really hold as fact and as true, it is like your reality is your reality and it gets to be that way. Like it is that way. Not like it gets to be that way. Like, oh, you get to have your fantasy world over there.
Yeah. Like, it's not a dismissive thing.
It truly is your reality and that's totally cool and that's okay. And my reality is mine and yours is yours. And so again, like, let me know if I come off a little harsh because I definitely don't want to. I want to reel that back. I just want to be able to also talk about it from like a really not devil's advocate kind of way.
Oh, I don't like that word.
We don't like the devil's advocate.
I don't like it when you say things just to get a rile out of me.
But it's
my
like,
perception.
I like picking apart this topic.
I don't mind picking it apart. I don't mind getting into like the, like, what do they say? Like the meats and potatoes of it.
Right.
I don't mind getting into the gears.
Into the weeds.
But yeah, and that, I don't mind getting into the weeds either. But I mind when it feels like it's only to trip me up, make me feel bad, make me feel like it's just those like egg, like that, that I'm like, I don't want to participate in that conversation. Right. Also, I get really defensive in the meanwhile, so I'm looking for it, which means if I'm looking for it, what am I going to find?
What are you going to find? What are you going to see?
Right?
Right.
My perception.
Exactly.
What I'm looking for.
So to place a big umbrella over the top of this conversation that we're embarking on, just to kind of clarify it and solidify it down a little bit more, that we come from this place, we have this understanding, like our perspective.
Our shared perspective.
Is that you have a program that you were given when you were born. Mm-hmm. And that program is shaped and influenced by a bunch of different factors. It, you know, your parents, the epigenetics, the DNA, the upbringing, the in utero experiences, all these kind of different factors and roles play a factor in regards to what your perception or your filter or the lens with which you see the world. And that lens or that filter is what we're going to be talking about. And the lens is shaped and influenced by the internal thought processes, excuse me, that you have about yourself and your, and like not only your perception of yourself, but also yourself in relation to the world around you. Mm-hmm. And that lens and that filter that you see the world through also affects how you think, kind of affects. I mean, it's not just a visual filter, like the idea that it's the glasses that you see the world through. Mm-hmm. It's also like the earbuds that you take information in, because it affects how you hear things. It affects mm-hmm. how you see things. It affects how you feel things emotionally. It affects like quite literally all aspects. So it's more of like a bubble that you're in that is interpreting the information around you as well as inside of you. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about this on this episode, yeah. is that perception, that filter, that lens is directly correlated to how you see the world.
Everybody has this filter and lens. It's just different.
Exactly. Everybody's so is different and unique,
like,
to them.
It's not like you are looking through with this filter. Mm-hmm. Everybody has filters around this. Everybody. Yeah.
Everybody does. And it's unique. It's almost like your fingerprint.
Right.
Where it's unique to you. And it's a compilation of all of your experiences. Right. And it morphs and changes over the course of your life. And you will add some things to it and you will take some things away mm-hmm. from it. But it's quite literally always there. It's always the thing that you have. And it literally, like, I can't, and I'll say this over and over and over again because it truthfully just blows my mind, where it literally shapes how you see the world,
right?
And how you see people and how you interact with people and how you interpret information inside of your body. Because I think for a long time, like for the vast majority of my life, I thought that there was like one reality. Like there was one truth mm-hmm. that basically, like, this is the way that the world is. And it's not like a shared perception. It's just fact, right?
Okay.
The world is this way. There's a one reality. There's one truth. Essentially, this is what is. And then everybody would just argue about it. But we all agreed that it was the truth. It was a reality. This is what, you know, life is. This is mm-hmm. what existence is. This is what society is. And that is just true.
It's just true.
And if anything you disagree with it, or if you have a different thought about it, then that's just your opinion.
That's just your opinion.
Like, it's your opinion about the truth or about reality.
Yeah. And your opinion that might be naive or.
Right. The like judgment and the criticism that comes in regards to your opinion based off of what reality really mm-hmm. is. And I think that that's still how, obviously, the vast majority of right. society operates.
It's like the thing, like, what is that old saying? Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got them. Mm-hmm.
Right? And they're all stinky.
Right? That's right. Reality. And that's like, that was how mine is. Like, reality is reality.
Exactly.
That's just what it was. Reality is reality.
So how can my thoughts shape that reality?
Right? You can't change what is.
Exactly. What is just simply is. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just your own thoughts and your own opinions. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying now, and what I'm believing more and more and more and more, is, in fact, those thoughts and those opinions that I have mm-hmm. actually shape that reality.
And
but it's just for me.
It's just for you, right? And it doesn't mean that things, like, you can't, it's not like taking a pencil and an erase, and you can't, like, erase it. You're not taking an eraser and erasing reality, right? There is still the fact of, like, an experience happened. An experience happened, but what that experience was, how it fills your perception of it, your experience of it does shift. You can take two very, I have an example, and right. it's just
we're
silly.
Gonna need lots of examples.
Well, I have so much that I want to say, because I've been like, when you brought this up that you wanted to talk about this, I really like honed in, and just so I'm like so excited with all these things. I have mm-hmm. like these, like fact base, or at least perception. I share perceptions with somebody when you're looking at just like the body, the nervous, how the brain works, you know, some like what, and then the experiences, how that comes in and like flavors them. It's like you got a recipe and then you just come in and flavor it with all your little other things in the programs. You know, it's like the family recipe gets changed. It's just chocolate chip cookie. Well, somebody put raisins in this shit.
So. Some asshole put raisins in there. We're not naming names, right? But you know who it was.
But for instance, like when
they're healthier.
When we went snowmobiling,
yes.
our snowmobiling experience, it was you and our youngest and I went and had this experience. And there's so many different ways that happens. So this snow was deep. It was not packed. It was light. It was fluffy. We have our,
like, 3 feet of powder.
Unexperienced snowboarders.
Snowmobilers.
That's it. That's the thing. That shows you how experienced we are.
We were on snowmobiles, but we thought that they were boards.
And these things are fucking huge and heavy. And unless you know what you're doing, which we did not, you just, like, get swallowed. You just get swallowed and tipped over. And, like, we...
That was a nightmare.
So, see, that's the perception, right? It was this thing where we got stuck. I wrecked right off the bat. Right off the bat. I couldn't see. I was fogging up my helmet. The snow was coming. And I couldn't see that I went right up on the side of the hill and flipped over. Mm-hmm. And I was, like... That was the time that I was mortified and embarrassed. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm ruining everything. Thanks, ego. Right? But we spent the day digging each other out, flipping over, like, trying to, like, every ounce of strength we had to combine to do, like, that was the whole day. And my perception of, like, Asher was like, this is sucks. You know, it was hard. You said it was a nightmare. My perception, we were all hanging out. We got to see some really cool things. We worked together. I felt like teamwork. I felt it was like those, like, team building exercise. I had an amazing day. Mm-hmm. Not amazing day. An amazing day. I had an amazing day. It was amazing. I had so much fun. I was exhausted. And at the end of the day, I thought, I've got nothing left. I've got nothing left. But the whole day, we worked together. And there was laughter and connection. I felt so connected to you guys. And, like, the strength that when we put our minds together... We were, like, digging the shit out and jumping on and having fun and picking up where we were and continuing on. And we didn't let it stop us. We just kept having fun together. And when one of us wrecked, one of us flipped, it was usually you and me, because Asher would see us and just, like, stop and then get pissed off that we weren't going fast enough, which might have helped. But I'd have went in a tree. I'd have went off a cliff. So I had to go slow. I was scared. But it was so much fun. My perception was that was an amazing day that I will never forget, full of fond memories. And yeah, a lot of hard work. But I love that day. I loved that day. I don't exactly want to go repeat that day. I don't, like, you know what was fun? Let's just go.
Let's go have a shitty snowmobile, right? Experience.
I don't want to repeat it.
Right.
But I loved that day. I felt so connected with you guys. So my perception was a very different experience than we bring our kid out here and he'd be like... And you've said right off the bat, it was a nightmare.
Well, I have the same perception. I hear all the things that you say. And, like, we've talked about that, obviously, back when it happened and everything like that.
I think we did a whole podcast on it.
Did we?
Probably.
Who knows? I agree with everything that you just said. It was that day as well. And then there's a component of my perception of the day was how much I failed. Because I planned the trip. It was like this opportunity for us to go do something on, like, break from, you know, school for him. And it was like this big thing and it was going to be fun. And, like, he was going to really have a good time. And because I'd only ever done it one other time, and that experience was much different.
Snow was packed.
Because the snow was packed.
Makes all the difference.
Everything was, like, the trails actually existed and were groomed and everything like that. And so to me, there was a component of it where I just, like, failed and dropped the ball immensely. And I felt so bad because there was so many aspects of it that just sucked, where it was just really hard. And there was no part of it that was like, oh, this is so much fun. I mean, we got to, like, ride on the snowmobile a mile versus, right, versus, like, the reality is they have, like, you know, 100 miles of trails that we could have been driving on. And instead we got to go, like, out 500 feet from the lodge because we just got stuck in the snow so much. But so that's a component of this topic where kind of you'll see experiences through the lens of how you see yourself. And I want to talk more about that.
Yeah.
And there's also another component where, like, quite literally, we will see things differently. Mm-hmm. And it's not just our perception of that one reality. We will see literal things that the other person does not see.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely want to talk about that. Right? I have so much to say on that too.
Like, that is trippy.
Right.
Where we will be looking at the same thing and you will see something that I literally cannot see through my lens. Mm-hmm. and vice versa. Like that, when I started to realize that, where there were things, and I'm trying to think of examples that we could give, and I can't think of any right now, but it's like it happens on the regular.
Yeah.
Do you have an example?
Well, it's still the snowboarding thing.
The snowmobiling thing?
God damn it. That thing.
We've never been snowboarding, but it probably would have been an equally catastrophic
event. I don't know. Anyways.
Catastrophic.
Oh, man. So your view on your, like how you felt, like mm-hmm. how you saw it, how you felt, and you're talking about these things. I have a perception like of the things that I saw that was like why this day was so good. Because we were trying to piece together, you know, a couple of pairs of Levi's and sweats. We would have like, we might have died. We might have frozen to death, right? And these boots, we were trying to piece together our winter wear for this.
Yeah.
But when we got there, you were looking at these like super, like the best snow suits ever in the world that apparently you could like hike in Antarctica with and be fine. And these snow boots. And they were expensive to rent, but you were like, let's do this. And so you got all of us the heavy duty snow boots, the snow gear, the all the things that were going to keep us warm and safe. And so when we went out and did that too, because it was a fucking cold day and we had the wind blowing, which was creating blind spots, and wherever we did go, the trail was gone. So how do we get back? But you put us like, I saw like you took the time and like made sure we were safe and gave us that really warm equipment. And then you never got mad. No matter how many times it was like a wreck here or couldn't pull out here. Cause like, honestly, like you were doing the heavy lifting most of it. Like Asher's pretty strong and I was out there doing my best, you know, trying not to like blow it out both ends while I'm heaving hoeing with everything I got, trying to lift a snowmobile that it's just funny, right? For me trying to do, but you never got mad. Like you made that such a safe environment, a safe and like a loving space, and you took care of us. So your perception of the failure, and I'm like, man, you showed up. My perception is like you were a hero, you know, you just showed up. Not that hero, I know that like feels crappy, but for me, my perception, that's what it was, because those things would not have mattered to others in the past, not worth the expense, and like so much of it would have been we're in trouble, and like all of these things, like the way that you showed up was it's bizarre to me that you see it as such a failure, but I can understand because how we treat ourselves, right? But for me, I was like, man, you're amazing. You are amazing. Like so just even that, like how we saw, and I guess that's not an actual visual and ocular seeing thing, but those are the things that I picked up on that was very different than what you picked up on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that happens all the time, right?
Yeah.
We see those things in so many different ways where I definitely see you differently than you see yourself. Mm-hmm. I have a different opinion. I have a different perception. I have a different understanding of who you are as you relate to like the world around you and the relationships that you have, mm-hmm. as well as our relationship. I see you vastly different than you see yourself.
That's true.
And that directly correlates into what we're talking about, right? The whole perception of it. But let's see if we can, go ahead.
Let's see if we can what?
Let's see if we can come up with some of these examples where we saw stuff that wasn't there for the, like the other person didn't see it.
Okay. I have one.
Let's hear it.
The possum.
Yes.
Do you remember?
So we'll tell the story so that you have a version of our realities, right? We're driving, we're here in Tennessee and there's like this possum central. Apparently this is where all the possums are created. And then they just span out from Eastern Tennessee across the globe. And there was a possum crossing the road coming back from jiu-jitsu one night. So it's dark, headlights, whole nine yards. And we see this possum crossing the road. And it's taking its sweet ass time.
It's big.
And it was like I had to do the whole like brake and swerve in order to avoid
the
possum.
Didn't we stop?
No.
No. See, there's another one. Yeah. I feel like we were just like
and
waiting.
So I saw one version of the possum.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your version that you saw?
If I remember right, you saw it just like continuing to look forward.
Yeah.
Like it was its mouth open?
Well, its mouth wasn't like, its mouth was just a jar.
A jar. So yes, its mouth was open.
Right. But it wasn't because its mouth was open for anything other than it was, I'm sure, just breathing as it was walking across the
street. So its mouth was open.
Okay. Its mouth was open.
You saw it looking straight and just walking across the road.
Yeah, it was just walking across the road.
Okay.
And I, you know, had to brake and swerve and we missed the possum so that we didn't run it over. Right. And Stephanie saw, like, if you've ever seen The Princess Bride, the ROUSs, right, from the fire swamp. That's what Stephanie sees, is this hideous, monstrous zombie beast in the middle of the roadway.
That looked at us, that turned with its mouth like, right, and looked at us, and I'm like, fuck, they are spooky.
So she sees these, like, snarling
teeth.
It
had red eyes. It was like, I was afraid. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I knew, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, I knew, but I didn't know. I had a perception that, I guess, I don't know. I had an idea, and my reality was different in that moment. My perception changed.
So this is a really good example. Right? Where,
but I really thought, I'm like, you're wrong, Craig.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, it never looked at us. I'm like, it looked at us with bloodthirsty eyes.
It was rabies. It was a ravenous.
I learned now that they don't very often contract rabies, actually. And that they're like really sweet. And I mean, don't go pick one up like our son did. But they like are very good for the environment. They're very helpful. They very rarely catch rabies, and they can take, like, poor things can withstand a lot of pain and poison and all kinds of things. But I didn't know. I was like, okay, third party, because we had an Asher in the vehicle. And like, what did you see? And I didn't give him any, like, Craig saw this, but I saw this. What did you see? I was like, hey, do you remember when we saw it? Did it turn and look at us, or did it? And he's like, no, it just kept looking straight. And I was like, holy shit. Okay, 2 out of 3 means that my perception was off, but so I can still remember.
This is like what I want to, like, this is the part that's so trippy for me, where your reality was real.
Yes.
So the idea that now you have to convince yourself that what Asher and I saw was actual reality.
I'm not going to do that. Right? Yeah.
But that's what we do all the time. Right. Where we will have these dilemmas where we're like, well, maybe I didn't really see that. Like when you start questioning, is that what I really saw? I don't know. Maybe that's not what I really saw. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes we just miss things,
Sometimes
we
just miss things.
But truthfully, in your reality of that experience, a ravenous man-eating possum turned and snarled at our van.
It didn't. Okay, reality, it didn't snarl, right? But it did turn and look at us and then look back and keep going. So I saw it glance at us and then go back.
Yeah.
So, and maybe it did. Maybe you both blinked. When it was like,
exactly.
Who knows?
There's so many possibilities.
But this is such a, I want to caveat here. This is such a touchy space, because this is where people gaslight and manipulate and really harm other people with this. They change their. So while this is like perception is, like reality is your perception, it doesn't mean that like, just because somebody sees it differently, like you have to be careful here. And it's so tricky. It's so tricky because people can use this and change your reality and make you think you are crazy.
So
I'm just going to leave that one there. I don't want to.
But my count, it's not a counter.
I don't want you to counter that one. Like, this is like, we have to care for people here, because this is how people get hurt too. So we're talking about perception.
Yes.
But when they're like, this abuse didn't happen, I didn't do this to you.
Okay. But what I want to mention is that is your perception of what can happen. So in your reality, that has happened to you before, and that is a thing that exists in your reality, where people will use this thing that we're talking about to some extent to gaslight and manipulate and control people to try to convince them that what they really experienced wasn't that. Mm-hmm. It was this other thing. You're wrong. This is what it really was.
Yeah.
So in your reality, that has been a thing and that is still a thing that some people do.
Yes.
And that's real.
Yeah.
In your reality.
Yep.
Because we cannot just say that is a real factual thing that happens in reality, because again, we have to separate from the idea that there
I'm
is one
really uncomfortable.
Right. It is
right.
uncomfortable.
I'm like, take your like over
that's
there.
What I'm saying. Like the more we dive into this, it's uncomfortable to question your reality.
It is. But also, like, I think it's really important that we talk about like still trusting yourself.
Exactly.
Like your reality can shift. Your perceptions can shift. Like, but it doesn't mean that you can't trust yourself. It means that you get to question yourself on things. You get to question and be like, what was this? What was the experience? What was the rule? Like, and how you felt about things It means you get to get curious, but to be like, I can't trust myself. This person is right. This never happened. Like for somebody, nobody can tell you what did or didn't actually happen to you. Right. Yeah. So if you're like, this happened to me, and somebody's like, no, it didn't.
Right. Nobody can tell you what your reality is.
Your reality. You get to like investigate that on yourself. But to hear a lot of times, you know, people will take this and be like, okay, boom, I will make this my fault and a lie so that not only can I keep myself in this toxic environment, right? But then it's like, it's also easier for me to manage life if I can convince myself that this terrible thing didn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's why, like, this is a cool thing that we get to look at and like how we go through this door, and we're going to get into that. But there is a very sensitive area here where we have to really caretake ourselves and each other in this. And that's my reality. And so that's what I'm going to choose to be like, what your reality of your experience, nobody gets to come in and tell you otherwise. If it shifts for you or however that works, but like, I'm just going to validate everybody's experience and to the best, you know, that I can, to the best that I can, and then continue on with this cool perception conversation.
Yeah. And again, like, I'm not saying that you're wrong in your perception of your reality. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Yeah.
That happens. I've done that a lot.
Yeah.
Where I would tell you, that's not what's happening, or that's not why I did this, mm-hmm. or that's not really what you're feeling. What you're feeling is actually this other thing, right?
Yeah.
And I've had to learn over the time and really look at why I was saying those things, because for a long time, I was coming from the perspective, right, my version of reality at the time, that was me helping.
Right.
Where I knew the truth of it, or I felt that I didn't have this verbiage and language going on in my head at the time, but the thought was, oh, the reality is this. So I'm going to explain it to you so that you understand what the reality is.
Okay.
And so in some ways, I was trying to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see it much differently now, right? It's been something that I've really had to work on over the years and recognize where, first off, that's not helpful. It's not helpful at all. And it's borderline abusive at times, and it's manipulative, and it's not any way that I wanted to actually be.
Yeah.
But again, it was coming from a program and from a perception and from a behavior and action reaction reality thing that I was given. So I was just simply operating off of that as kind of how you do things.
Right.
And so now, and we've done it with the kids, right? Over the course of our, like,
I can think of so many times. This has actually been coming up in my space lately where I've realized how what I thought I was being with the kids was very loving and helpful and making something really scary safe for them and better for them, like being in an abusive situation and being like, oh, they're not like, even like, they're not mad at you, they're mad at me, or oh no, he wasn't mad at you, or this wasn't that, like trying to change the reality, knowing damn well that's what it was. But I thought, right, I honestly thought in my brain from my programs that if I could get them to believe that, like, oh, this wasn't, you know, then they would be less scared.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be like healthier for them because they wouldn't have this memory. They're like, oh, it was actually this thing that wasn't this scary. And so they would be better off. And instead, I'm gaslighting them and I'm invalidating their reality. I'm causing so much more trauma. I'm adding trauma on top of the trauma instead of just being like, yes, like, I didn't know how to validate them. I didn't know how. I'm like, nope, we get in here. We're perception weavers. This is what I was taught. This is what I'm doing. And like all of that love was so harmful and painful. And not only that, but it also taught them to not trust themselves,
right?
Because now their reality has been invalidated.
So you can see where I was coming from.
Oh, I can totally see it. And it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can totally see it. Like, there's so many ways of like even trying to convince kids that holiday people are real, you know? And I'll just, people. I'm just trying, just in case somebody's listening, I don't want to be the one to change that reality, right? Like they get to choose what they want for their kids.
Yeah.
But like even that, they're like, they're not real. I'm like, oh yes, they are. And then like the threats, like, well, if you don't believe it, you're not going to get any presents.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Like, so many things. But in my mind, I'm like, keeping magic alive, and I want to keep giving them presents. Look at me being like loving and helpful.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm fucking them
and up imagine if
by playing with their realities consciously, not trying to be mean.
Right.
But being so fucking mean.
So you have that. So that version of Stephanie back in time when that was taking place, she has a filter of reality that she's living in. And if we have future Stephanie,
I know how to make this better.
Come to that time period, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're traveling as the Terminator does, trying to save Sarah Connor, right? So if Terminator Steph comes to that reality and says, "Hey, you're doing this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is actually creating more damage.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do it this other way." First off, after you got over the fact that like a future version of you traveled through time, right, you'll get over that and then you'll be like, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about. What I'm doing is actually loving. Right. What you're talking about is abusive.
Right.
What you're talking about is going to hurt my kids.
Yeah. Why would you validate that? That's just going to scare more because we can't even get him out of this situation.
Right.
So why are you going to make it even more? Be like, yep, he might kill us at any moment. It's cool. Good night. Hope we see each other in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, why would I say that? Like even that, I'm going to start crying here. But like I didn't know how to do it differently. And I didn't, even if I had the ability to do it, I didn't know what to do about it. There were so many tools that I just didn't have that I have now. And there's so many tools that I'm going to see in the future that I'm like, fuck, I can't believe I was doing, you know, I didn't have those. And just like that thing, one of the best like things that I've ever heard is even when you know better, because it's that you know better, do better, know better, do better. Sometimes you know better and you still can't do better yet, right? It's a practice, you get there. But it was like that thing of like, just because you have the tools doesn't mean you knew how to use them or had the ability to use them at that time. So you're like, I knew better. That's okay. And next time you get to try again, and just keep practicing and keep practicing. So again, just because I had the tools doesn't mean I knew how to use them. So seeing that is why, I guess that's another reason why I'm so sensitive to this, because I can see all of the ways that my helpful self did the crappy things, trying to change perceptions and also wanting my perception to be different, doing it for myself, changing my perception, completely gaslighting myself and changing the way I saw it. And like, there's so many, like, you can unveil things, you can take layers off, and you can also add layers. So there's different ways of where you're still changing your reality based on your perception. Are you unveiling or are you reveiling? And I was a reveiler. I was like, whoop, how many more filters can I lay on this thing?
Yeah.
You know, it's really, it's interesting. It's like, and I wonder, is there ever a part that doesn't have a filter? And not in our human bodies, right?
I don't think so. I think that this overarching thing that we're talking about, this perception thing, these filters, this lens that you see the world, I think it is part of this experience.
Yeah.
Meaning the human experience that we're having, where we get to process what those filters are and pick and choose them consciously rather than subconsciously have them at play. So like, that's what I'm like, eventually this conversation gets us to this point where you get to consciously pick and choose the filters that you're now using.
Yeah.
Where I'm choosing, because that's like the adage of like, your thoughts shape your reality. Like if you want to, you know, think happy, be happy. Like you have to, like if you want a better life, you have to think about like all of those kind of like manifestation, creation, all these things that gets thrown around. And I think oftentimes they're very legitimate and real, but we don't have a contextual understanding of what that actually means. And so it's just like, oh yeah, that's a thing, but I don't know what to do about it.
Or the ability to access it. So then it's just a shame tactic.
Yeah. So that's like where I'm at now with this, where I'm really recognizing that how I'm choosing to think is actually like legitimately shaping what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Right. And so then I'm just like getting very conscious about those thoughts. And again, it's because this idea that we have the ability to control our thoughts, I don't think that's the case. I think we have the ability to choose what thoughts we let control us rather than controlling our thoughts. because the thoughts are going to happen regardless, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, the brain is operating and it's just processing information. So those thoughts come from the information that the brain takes in, and then the thought kicks up, right? So we can't control that process. The idea that that's a, like an autonomic nervous system thing that just takes place. We can't control it. But we can choose which thoughts we use to control our reality. So I'll have, I mean, how many times do you have like crazy thoughts where you're like,
all the time,
right? Somebody cuts you off in traffic and then you're like picturing following them home and jumping out, and you're like ranting and raving at them. What about, sometimes they're way more murderous, but everybody has those thoughts and that's okay. Now,
acting on them is different.
Well, it's not even just acting on them. Seeing the original thing of the person cutting you off then activates a thought process. Is there something on the floor?
No.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah.
What happened?
I have a perception of my foot that's being weird. Okay. Move on.
Okay, moving on. And so that's what I'm trying to do now, is be cognitive of what thoughts I choose to allow into this filtration system that I'm now viewing my life through. Because, yes, I think that the truth of what we are is this thing that's separate from these filters that our body has, separate from these thoughts and this perception and this reality. And the truth of everything else, like the truth of the bigger picture that's kind of behind the scenes, is that we are just this unconditionally loved thing, right? Yeah. And so that's mine.
Yeah.
Perception of reality. Some other people have a different one, and that's totally fine. But then it becomes, how do we consciously choose what thoughts we're letting shape our reality? Because we acknowledge that they very much shape our reality, mm-hmm. all the way down to how we see things. So this is like, because we were talking about this leading up to the podcast, where that we know some people, we have some, I don't know if we necessarily call them friends, we have people that we know. Mm-hmm. And that makes it sound like they're not friends, but everybody's got like friends on Facebook that aren't really friends, right? They're just acquaintances over the years. And there's some people that we know that we've seen the progression of them going from like what we would classify as normal in our reality,
right,
to suddenly being like flat earth believers that want to argue about whether or not satellites exist. And I was thinking about those type of people, and I'm like, of course satellites exist, we have all this proof, and I can see that proof, and I could present that proof, or flat earth is a great one, right? Mm-hmm. Where I can present plenty of what I deem to be factual evidence of why the earth is in fact in my reality. It's a it's the earth, it's a round thing that exists in space and time out there in the universe. It's not actually, it's just flatness thing that whatever they believe. And I realized that if I were to present that argument to them, or that article or that blog post or that video, they would see things in that content that would reiterate their belief that the earth was flat.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Yeah, because to you, they're like, hey, okay, in your reality.
Right. So we would watch the same video but hear different things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's literally hearing different things, like different words. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hearing the things that we want to hear. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many times, and this plays out in our relationship too, where if I'm in a bad mood and I'm frustrated and I'm upset and I'm angry, you will say something to me and I will hear it through angry ears. Mm-hmm. And I will react and respond in such a way where suddenly now I'm like, oh, we're fighting? We're fighting. Cool. She's, you know, she just said something and now we're fighting. And you're like, that's not at all what I said. But I'm like, bullshit, it's not. That's because I got my angry ears on.
Yeah.
Right? So it's no different than the person that wants to believe in their reality that the earth is flat or that satellites aren't real or whatever conspiracy theory exists out there. Mm-hmm. And then we have this other group of people. Like, I think the people that believe that flat earth is real or that believe conspiracy theories, I think they're more in alignment with what we're talking about because they have separated from this bigger narrative that there's one reality.
Yeah.
Like, they're entering into the other aspect of like, all of you are actually wrong. That right. reality that you believe to be true is actually wrong, and now this one is true. But we have to allow for all realities to be true. Right. The one where people think that the earth is, you know, flat, or the one where people think that it's a space rock.
The ones that believe in Bigfoot?
Right, Bigfoot or Middle Earth.
That'd be me. I'm a Bigfoot believer.
Proof! And then it just becomes acceptance.
Right.
And rather than trying to dismiss or argue or convince, it just becomes acceptance. It's like, awesome. Tell me more about what that reality is like. Like, if I'm God.
What if we're curious?
And I'm not saying I'm God. But if let's say we come to this planet and we're just curious about what this species thinks, right? So we're aliens and we land here and we're like, tell me about your world. Right? Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. This person over here lives 20 minutes from you.
Maybe if we say, that's so fascinating.
That is so fascinating. That's so fascinating. That in your reality, that's what you see.
Yeah.
And that's what you feel. And that's what you think. How fascinating is that? And there's like 7+ billion realities existing at the exact same time. Yeah. And they're all true. They're all true.
Wonder what it would look like if we took our filters off and could just hear all the different perceptions. I bet it paints a picture that is just like unfathomable. Like, just imagine to be able to
talking is getting worse as the years go by. We both are like way struggling when it comes to words.
I got the words.
But imagine.
That's your perception. My perception is my vocabulary is enhancing. I'm becoming articulate and mellifluous like the Craig. And you have no idea how long I practiced that word and how long it took me to stop saying maleficent.
Instead of mellifluous.
Yes. Did I say it wrong?
No, anyway. You said it great.
I love what you're saying. Like I want to riff on that too.
Yeah.
Like there's this whole like theory, right? So perception theory, it's a theory, right? So when we are like how our brain interprets stuff, if we just like break it down to the neuroscience of our bodies and the anatomy, the way that we see things, the way that we visually see things, and it's not just how we're processing in our brain yet, but like we'll get to that. So if we just like break it down first, we're taking in the world, what we're seeing with our eyes is actually like inverted. It's like upside down with the way that our shape. So we're seeing things upside down, but our brain puts it right side up, right? Fact check that. Go look it up. So our brain flips it for us. So our brain is already processing and making sense of what's happening. And it's like this CPU that's going in there and taking things. If you have images that are not in a shadow and in a shadow, your brain can change the color of them based off of like how it's the perception. So your brain is always working and calculating what you're seeing. So it's like you're the ultimate AI, right? You're getting information. Somebody's typing in the chat of what's happening, what you're seeing around, and then the brain is processing it and putting out this feedback loop. So you already have that. And you are wired to receive what you are perceiving. Like that is just like a wire. So when you're focusing attention on is like more often than what you see. There's this video of these people in white t-shirts and some of them are in black t-shirts and they're jumping around and they're passing a basketball and you have to focus on I think how they did it was focus on the white t-shirts and how many times people in white t-shirts pass the ball. And so you're watching them and you're counting and you're focused. You're like, I'm going to get it right because there's a bunch of people. So you have to really pay attention. You are looking, you're honing in, you're looking for your facts, your truth. So even if that's a confirmation bias, you're proving that the earth is flat or the earth is round, whatever you're looking at, you're focused in and you're counting that and you are dismissing anything that does not validate that. And at some point, somebody in a gorilla suit comes in. And what happened to me when I saw it is I saw the gorilla and I thought it was going to be a distraction. I thought they were like messing with you. I'm like, nope, not going to distract me. Push it out and kept focusing on the white so I could count and know how many times they passed the ball. And then the practice was when you came out, they're like, I bet you didn't even notice the gorilla. Like it came into your space, but because your perception wasn't there, you didn't even notice it. And I was like, wow, interesting. I did notice it and immediately invalidated and dismissed it because it wasn't what I was supposed to be looking at. I was like, that is interesting to think of how we're going to go through the world and just like that's how we are wired. And that's without the filters, right? That's without the epigenetics and
the stories that we tell ourselves.
The story. So when we take that is like our genetic disposition anyways, or like our physiological or however, like that is how our bodies, our brains, how it works. And then you start to add on the experiences that shape the beliefs, which is just something that's been repeated over and over. So now it's this belief. It's a practice thought. Or you start to put on traumas over it. So all of these filters.
Yeah, no, don't even take into consideration when you're activated.
Right?
Right? The fight, flight, freeze, or fawn.
Yeah.
Completely fucking your vision, your sight, sound, right. Everything getting totally jacked up.
So in when those you're hyper vigilant,
right,
and then you're always in a hyper vigilance, what are you always going to see?
Mm-hmm.
And this also chain goes with them. It's called inattentive blindness, I believe, is one of the phrases for it. And there's also another one that's change blindness. So,
by the way, I didn't see the gorilla the first time.
Did you see that?
I've seen that video before.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the gorilla. The second time I go back, I'm like, motherfucker. Right. They got that gorilla.
It was just in there. It was bouncing. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, psh, not important. Not even like you can't distract me with facts. I'm focused on the white t-shirts. Which I think it's, oh my gosh. What was I going to say? Oh, the change part. When you get, you stop seeing change. So when, how am I going to word this? How am I going to speak to this? Come on, come to me. I got so hyper-focused that now I'm having a hard time. Okay. There was another study that they were doing and seeing people's perceptions of change. And when things change, if you're not looking for it, how you don't notice it. And it was the story that I heard was people were going in for the study and they were sitting in this classroom, whatever. And there was the professor, the dude behind the desk that was going to host the experiment, going to talk to him. He's like, before we get started, I have to grab your consent forms real fast. So let me grab those. So he ducks down behind the desk to grab the consent forms. And another person pops up with consent forms and starts passing them out. And most people didn't even notice that it was a whole new person because it was a new environment. However, they were focused on the consent forms. So a massive change occurred that didn't even jump into their perception. So I thought about how that affects our reality, right? Even if you take it to as simple as when you're working with your partner and there's been some things that need to come up and be healed and patterns that are being shifted. When you got so hyper aware of seeing the negative patterns, it takes a really long time for your brain to even feel safe enough to start perceiving change.
Yeah.
So I'm different. You're like, psh, I'm not seeing it. I've heard that before. So how that goes when you start taking all of the trauma filters on top of something that is already in our body. It's so you got to give yourself so much grace and then awareness to be like, wow, maybe so much is changing. Maybe my perception has been holding me back. Maybe I can see this in a new way. What could I create? What could I see and perceive and receive if I stopped applying all of the filters that I have been holding on to? So
what could I create is the part that I think is fascinating.
Right.
Right. Because all of this stuff leads me down this path of okay, if all of this is taking place and my perception of myself in reality and in space and in time and in just legitimately what's taking place in my life is directly influenced and shaped by these thoughts and these perceptions and what I choose to use as a filter or not,
mm-hmm.
then I can start to pick and choose actually what I want to create.
Exactly.
How I actually want the world to look.
And what's your brain going to do?
Right.
It's going to start validating what you're looking for.
And so the validating what you're looking for, mm-hmm. another way to verbalize that is it will start creating that reality.
Right. So that's what's going to form. That's what it's going to see. It's going to pick those shirts out of the crowd. That's what it's going to be.
And so this is a really key thing for me, I think, and I think it's massively important to also think about it from this perspective of we are hardwired to recognize danger just from the survival instinct that we have as an animal, where we're going to look for danger first and we're going to focus in and be aware of danger first because that's how we're going to stay safe. And that's great, right? Mm-hmm. It's kept us alive this long and allowed us to evolve into the humans that we are. Now, there's a way to continually look at the world through that lens as a dangerous place, full of things that could kill us as an individual, as well as society as a whole. And that is what we are most often fed through social media, through news, is all of the things that are going to kill us as an individual or kill us as a whole. So it's this endless loop that we're stuck in as a society where if I choose different thoughts to allow to influence my filter, the world suddenly becomes a safe place. The world suddenly becomes a beautiful place where there isn't war happening, where there isn't like global warming killing us all, where there isn't, you know, the left and the right arguing about everything, where there isn't rights being taken away, where there isn't all of these things that one version of reality exists where these things are actually happening. There's another version of reality exists where they're not. And the only thing that separates my ability to see it is what I'm choosing to allow to filter my experience. Right? And like the next thought in my head is, how naive are you to think that that's all that it takes? Where if you just stop thinking that the world is a dangerous place, that it's not going to be dangerous anymore. And I'm like, yeah.
Go ahead and put your head in the sand.
That's all that it takes. Mm-hmm. Like literally, that's all that it takes. Is I just have to stop thinking that everything is out there that is dangerous and that it's going to kill me. And then suddenly, that will not be the case anymore in my reality.
My reality was done listening to that and unplugged the headphones. All of a sudden, the voice went, bullshit. Unplug.
But I think that's like, when I say I think that's the extreme version of it, I don't think that's extreme. I think that's just the reality of it, where we get to see whatever world we want to see based off of what we allow to control our thoughts and our filter. I don't want to see a world where there's war and destruction and famine. Now, plenty of people are going to hear that and put head in the sand, you're naive, you're stupid, like all of those things you know, and that's their reality, that's fine. But in my reality, I don't want to see that anymore. Yeah. And it's not I'm turning a blind eye and I'm not looking at it. I'm actually going to change and create the world that I actually want to see. Right? So I'm going to create the world that I want to see through the lenses that I look at it.
Right. And that's such a, like, I really want you to hone in on that because that's such an important distinguishment. it's a very, like, all the words right now I'm hearing, like, we're worse at talking. I can't say any words, we're worse at talking. But you're not saying you're becoming oblivious.
No,
you're saying you're going to change the reality of it.
Yeah,
like you're creating peace and love and unity. You're not saying I'm just not going to see it, which so many people are like, no, you're just turning a blind eye. You're like, I'm changing it. And that's such a difference.
Yeah.
And just like
if the person that I see as an enemy today, if tomorrow I see them as a friend, they're no longer an enemy because I've changed the reality of how I see them. That's hard, right?
That's hard right there. I'm like, oh, nope. Right. That's my reality. My reality is like, nope, you need to keep discernment there. And they don't have to be an enemy, but they don't have to be a friend.
Right.
They don't need to be in your space. So I'm like, oh, that's too far. My reality can't. I'm like, that's unsafe. That's unsafe. Backpedal.
So
an enemy, but not in my space. Not
all
a friend.
The stuff that goes on inside of your body in regards to just an example like that, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine if that feeling inside of you, went away.
Right.
And now you could actually see that enemy as a friend.
I'm sitting here struggling with this. Like, this is a part that I can't get to yet. I'm not that enlightened yet.
Who says it's enlightenment? Because I'm like,
I have done that over and over again with violators. So all of my like instincts are coming up and being like, fuck that, I'm never doing that again. So just saying that, my body is like walls up and I can't see past it right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, poof. I don't even want to entertain that because that equals like pain. So my reality isn't there. I'm not saying it's not a pot. Like, how could I imagine? I can't. Like, I'm not there yet.
But you can imagine, I mean, it's easy to, in everything that we've been talking about and discussing, like, it makes sense to you that if you want to change the world, you just change the way that you see the world. And then suddenly that world changes in your reality.
And sometimes that's also being like, well, you have to change your environment, right? But what keeps you stuck is your perception to think you cannot change your environment. You can't. So like being in a space of, how can, from my understanding, right? From being in an abusive place where you cannot, it's not saying, oh, you're changing the perception, like, oh, the abuse isn't happening, and then the person is suddenly going to stop. It's what is keeping you there? What is the perceptions that you have that is keeping you in that place, that you don't deserve better, that you can't get out, that there's no, like, all of the ways. So changing your perception on that allows you to change, like, when your perception changes there, you can change your environment, and things start to shift and move and get out of that. So what experience, what somebody may, or for me just personally, what I'm experienced was in fact that, but the things that changed were my perception of not being able to get out, not having another way, not finding safety and being able to change my environment. And then that happened. My beliefs started changing and slowly my environment changed, which now my perception of the way I'm living life is not an abusive one. I don't have to be afraid for my children or myself. So my perception is now different because I changed my perception and changed my environment. It doesn't mean that I lied to myself and been like, oh, this isn't really happening. You know,
yeah.
That's just one aspect of it from what I can draw from at this point, from where I can go with
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
It is.
And like we could continue to, you know, dive down deeper and deeper and deeper into this. And hopefully it's given people something to think about. It's given you a different spark to, did you raise your hand, babe?
I did.
There's only two of us here.
I want to say something because I think we're ending the podcast. And I'm just like, had such an awareness. Everything that my perception has been doing here has been hardcore. Everything has been like, talking about abuse, talking about war, talking about gaslighting, and not like focusing on the facts of all the positive aspects. I'm like trying to change a negative environment, trying to change. That's my filter. My perception is you changing a negative environment instead of being like, well, look at all the positive things that are happening in your space.
Right.
And look at the things of like that you can like change the perspective of that isn't a dire situation. Because when your perception is you're only focusing on dire situations, you're missing all of the non-dire. You're missing all the ones that you can change. And it starts with these little shifts, these little like perceptions that work. Like maybe there are some blackberry bushes mixed in with the poison ivy bushes. Maybe it's not a border of poison ivy. You know, it's these little tiny shifts that come in. It doesn't have, you don't have to go right to the, in fact, if you do go right to the core, it's kind of impossible. Maybe.
Well, that what you just explained or what you just talked about was that thing of there's literally another thing that's existing in your reality mm-hmm. that you can now see.
That I can now see.
Where you couldn't see it before because you were so tunnel visioned on seeing danger.
Mm-hmm.
Where everything was coming through the lens of danger and safety and trauma and I have to protect myself and my loved ones.
Right. And so, everybody listening to this, I want to make sure that they're protecting themselves while they're going through the perception explorations.
Exactly. Where it's like, this is the overarching lens mm-hmm. that I see the world through. And it's like, that is great. There's nothing wrong with that. That's kept you safe all this time, but it has limited the totally. Vision that you actually have to mm-hmm. see what maybe a new reality could be, or even what the reality is that of of where you're actually at, mm-hmm. what life actually looks like.
And the thing is that has shifted. Mm-hmm. That has shifted so much. But whenever we start to touch on these things, those lenses, it's like Iron Man's mask. Just they just covered. My lenses are on.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. I don't even see it happening. And then I'm like, look out, there's danger.
Danger everywhere. And I'm like, baby, that might just be not that dangerous. Right? There's, you know, and you're like, no, it's danger. I think it's just a possum crossing the road. It was going to kill us.
Looked at us. Maybe the possum did look at us for help. Maybe the possum was thanking us and being like, thank you for breaking and not hitting me, because so many people would have just ran me over. So
its open mouth that was snarling was really just a smile.
I didn't say it was snarling, but it was open and it was... It did seem ominous.
Right.
It did seem like, I don't know. I was surprised at the teeth. I was surprised that you could see their teeth. You know, I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was expecting like these like flat, like, hi, friendly teeth. And instead they were like.
Razor sharp.
Well, they were just so big.
Fucking werewolf. It was a werewolf zombie.
I am not
possum.
The only one that was creeped out by that possum. So you keep it up, mister.
I was creeped out by it.
You're
I didn't
so
like
creeped
it.
Out by possums.
It wasn't like. Oh, we've got a new friend.
Right? Well, Asher did think that. When he saw a baby possum, he was like, you are a cuddly waddly and I love you.
So hopefully this has sparked a bunch of different ideas in your mind of ways that you are viewing the world around you. And if there's any key takeaways, it's like everybody's reality gets to be real for them. And I think that, like, even if that's just the one thing that we could all agree upon, mm-hmm. even though that'll never happen, because in our realities that we, like, everybody's reality is nobody can ever agree on anything. That's fine, right? You don't have to agree that everybody can agree to this, but just yourself, if you can hold the capacity for your reality to be true for you and everybody else's reality to be true for them. And there is no longer, like, the more we can just separate from the idea that I have to convince you that my reality mm-hmm. is the one true reality, instead of just being like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I'd love to hear more about mm-hmm. your reality. Like, we all have different versions of this world that we're living. Mm-hmm. And I want to learn about yours. I might like your world better and I want to grab a hold of it and be like, cool, I'm going to make that sounds right. like a better reality than the one that I'm in. Let's mm-hmm. go join that one. Right? That's what happens all the time subconsciously, where we're like, oh, this person's selling us this version of reality that I like better than mine.
I like that one. I'm gonna help build that one into my space. And then just the same as the other one, she'd be like, okay, that reality I do not like. So I'm not going to put my energy there.
Yes.
I'm going to put my energy over here.
And you get to create all of that. You literally get to design and create whatever you want your life to be mm-hmm. by the way that you think and view the world around you. And this is where it starts, is just getting really curious and being okay to be uncomfortable mm-hmm. with your thoughts and your ideas. And if there's one thing that I would also add, and this is like, this would be another thing that we could riff on forever, but take away the idea that anything is certain. There isn't a certainty. There isn't a fact. There isn't a, this is 100% always the case. Mm-hmm. If you could just like allow that to be in question, where your beliefs, your ideas, your thoughts, like we think without a doubt, 100% that tomorrow the sun is going to come up.
Not all of us. Some of us are pessimistic and like it can go out at any minute.
But that's the reality, right? At least where I live in my head, that it's not guaranteed that it's going to come up tomorrow.
Yeah. It's not guaranteed.
Right.
But don't be like, oh my God, this sun's not going to come up.
So I just get curious.
Nothing is
at
certain.
Being uncomfortable with, there isn't a definitive yes to anything. Yeah.
Even if it's happened and been proven 100% of the time, it doesn't mean that it will continue to be that.
Yeah. So this was a fun conversation.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about it more, but I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
In my reality, I have to pee. Yeah. So we're going to wrap the episode up. But before we do that, we got to answer this week's question.
Okay.
Are you ready, babe?
I'm ready.
So this is the part of the podcast episode where we answer your questions. That's such a good intro song. You can submit these questions anytime by messaging us on social media. You can also drop us an email. It's info@energyislove.love. And we love getting questions and answering your questions. And pretty much anything is on the table, right? That doesn't, you can send us any questions.
Doesn't mean we'll say it.
We're not going to necessarily answer your question, but you can send us any question that you want.
So and we might.
Yeah, we're very open to discussing anything. Right. So this question this week, oh my goodness. My allergies have been getting to the back of my throat all episode. But this question comes from Facebook this week. So Susan on Facebook asks, how do you overcome a traumatic experience like a canceled wedding and remain with that person still? Wow. Like, that's a big, difficult experience to go through, mm-hmm. right? How do you stay with somebody after something like that, whether it's a canceled wedding or there's an endless list of potential relationship enders that how do you stay with a person after something like that? And I think first and foremost is it's like, ask yourself, do you want to?
Right.
Do you actually want to stay with that person? And if the answer is yes, then what do you do next? Mm-hmm. And you have to get real honest with yourself. So the question first and foremost is, do I want to stay with the person? And for them as well, right? Vice versa. They have to answer that question. Do we actually want to stay together? Cool. What do we do next? Well, we have to actually talk about what just happened. Whether it's the canceled wedding, whether it's infidelity, whether it's like a deal breaker decision, maybe about having kids, whether it's, I mean, like I said, there's an endless list of things and they're always different for everybody.
Does somebody just panic? Right. And then like, no, I do want this. Was it a moment of clarity that they had for themselves? And then coming back to it and being like, no, I'm here. This is what I want.
When these things happen, these are the things that oftentimes we won't talk about. So we'll sweep them under the rug. We'll pretend like they're not there. These are the things that are kind of like the shadow of your relationship that can get created and cultivated over the course of your relationship. And they will slowly over time poison and destroy your relationship. Mm-hmm. So the way to avoid that is actually talking about them. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have to create some time to sit down in these really uncomfortable conversations and have a conversation about what happened.
What happened?
And the whole idea, like this is the biggest key, I think, when it comes to discussing these things. Because we do this all the time and we're like constantly in the process of like couple shadow work, even just in the relationship that we have together, where you have to acknowledge that something happened and we're going to talk about it. And sometimes it's very much, let's come up with a solution. But that's a rarity. The majority of the time it's, I need to express what happened for me. I need to express my feelings. I need to express basically what it was like for me to go through that experience and everything that happened to me and my body and my emotions and sometimes physically, all these kind of different things. I need to express all of those things. And I need to be heard and I need to be seen and I need to be validated. And that is the fix. That is the solution to healing and allowing you to then move forward from an experience like that. So both people have to be able to sit with one another and hear and listen and validate that experience. And that alone is really, really hard to do because you're going to become defensive. You will get hurt. You will become argumentative. All of these things that can take place by bringing up these painful experiences that will activate and trigger your nervous system and then, you know, enter into the fight or flight response and all those things happen. So you have to realize that those things are going to happen and we're still going to come back to it. And we're going to push pause when you need to push pause. But we're going to create and design a time and an opportunity to sit through really uncomfortable conversations together so that each part of us inside that is hurt and wounded can actually be heard and seen and loved and validated. So start slowly, be really patient with yourself, make sure that you create and design like, we always call them like rules of engagement, and that's a completely different topic that we can go on, but you have to set up some sort of like literal structure for the conversation to take place and acknowledge, okay, when we need to push pause, we're going to push pause and we're going to agree to come back to it. But we need to really create time for both people to fully flesh out and express any pain, hurt, sadness, emotional stuff that they need to in order to heal through that experience together. And it might mean that you'll go through that process and the relationship will still end. Mm-hmm. But it also, like that, like going through that process is a really good way to stay together in a long-term relationship, because you're going to have to be able to do that over mm-hmm. and over and over again in all sorts of different ways.
That conversation is going to be, if you stay together, that is going to be an ongoing conversation for a while.
Yeah. And the bigger the trauma or the bigger the hurt or the bigger the experience and the bigger the event, that means that it's going to take longer and longer. So it's going to be an ongoing conversation. It's not a one and done. It's not a cool, you said what you needed to say, I'll say what I'll need to say, and then we're just going to move on.
Moving on.
It's going to be a lengthy process of healing that has to happen over the course of years sometimes. And you have to be willing to show up for that.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but it's just plain and simple. It's not something that people are really good at. It takes a lot of practice and patience and love, but it's doable.
It is. Yeah.
But that's what it looks like. If you want to remain with the person, we believe that that's what it takes.
Love it. The only thing that I would add to that is, like you were just like, the only thing that I would add is getting really curious about yourself, having that conversation with yourself too. Like if you, yes, you want to stay with them, why? Like really getting clear on the whys. Is it for the life that you're building? Is it the connection? Or, you know, is it because I don't want to be abandoned, and what will people think? I don't want to lose this. I don't know what I'll do without them. Just kind of like getting really curious on like your why, and really getting firm with that, and then asking yourself, what do you really want? What do you really want for yourself, for your future? What is your values? What are you leaning for? What do you really want out of the relationship? So you're firm on these when you're going into the conversations to know what it is you're working towards, and then being open to hearing what it is that they want for themselves and what they want for the relationship and why they're still in this space. So you can really hear each other going through on what your needs are, each as for individuals and for the relationship when you're building through.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Susan, for the question. That's a really tough one, but hopefully that helps a little bit. As always, you can send us questions to info@energyislove.love, or like we said, just hit us up on social. And my throat is closing up.
We might be done here. We got to get some drinks.
In my reality, I can't talk anymore. I got to go pee, and then I got to get a drink. So
okay.
Thank you, Steph. I love you. This was fun.
I love you.
I'm excited. If anything was sparked for you and you want to share it with us, you can also just... We always like hearing about your experience of the podcast and what came up for you. So don't hesitate to reach out with that as well. That's a good idea. Come hang out with us each month, and we'll chat more about things like this. But enjoy your day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If our podcast resonates with you and you'd like to learn more, please go to energyislove.love. You can find out all the information about us and our coaching practice, as well as information about the podcast. We are a couple of coaches who coach couples through their shadows and all the difficulties of relationships. And we also work with individuals. So be sure to reach out to learn more or hit us up with any questions you might have.
And remember to subscribe to this podcast so you catch all of our episodes.